Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh's radio is now on the air. I be your host by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We still not through that series we're dealing with, revealing the number of the B666 son of edition, taking all 112. So we, and like we said, those that trying to make the tapes up in their thing, you have to basically listen to the lesson real carefully. And whatever comes out of the lesson, then that's the greatest label you can put on it, because we really can't tell you exactly which way it's going, because we never know what's going to come up. We can't stick to, nope, we don't know what's going to come up. Like, for example, we're going to bring Mr. Kills in, and he might make a statement on something, and then we might have to kind of take a repeat that day. I don't know. So bear with Yahweh's Voices of the True Israelites. And one thing about it, and sooner or later, we'll be able to mastermind of how to put labels on the tapes and everything else, because you have to listen carefully on what's been said on tape 112 that's coming up. So we'll bring our elder in and tell y'all about the broadcast, and we people on the international side, it's still packed down today. I guess they still really hear something. They're going to hear something, too. Over 900,000 strong on the international side, over 900,000 strong on the international side, ready to hear some Dust Edge Yahweh's tape number 112. So what we'll do is bring our elder in. He'll tell y'all about the broadcast, and we'll spread the books out. And when those that are coming on stage, you know, come on stage and let's get it going on. But the elder and myself, we're kind of working best what we can. Remember one thing, get in where you fit in at. Where you think you good at? Think you comfortable doing? Then do that. Because in a ministry person like a worldwide ministry of Yahweh's Voice number two is like, every hand is needed on deck to make this thing possible and Yahweh to intervene. So keep that in your mind. Whatever you do, remember one thing, Yahweh will never let what you do be in vain. Got it? Good. So with me and our elder, with loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Till, take number 112. Yahweh be to the elder.
And Yahweh bless you, see as well, see you well. I will go, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, one thing I can say, the fox tail has been written. And we know we got a job to do. Everybody's going to do their part. We just got to make sure we do ours. That's it. That's the point. We know we got to do our part. So that's all I can tell you. So, hey, whatever you want to address this mask, Norton's going to take number 112. Take your time, you know, let me drink a little herbal tea and get myself prepared to see what you say and which way you're going to do take number 112. So, hell, look at you. Y'all fly beauty to the world listening. Over 900,000 strong and listen to you. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. As you say, among a cast of over 900,000 listeners. And I have to say that's a good thing, because we have been off the air for a bit of time. But when the people come to hear the word of Yahweh, that's what they're going to hear. I was speaking to a gentleman earlier today, before we get into the program, and this is about learning also. Generally, most of the time, when Yahweh reaches his hand out to bless you, you notice that whatever you do in the learning process becomes a bit easier. And that's told us in the book of Matthew's, which we'll probably get into that a bit later. Matthew's 25. Just read that chapter. You'll see what it explains. But anyway, to further explain that, generally when someone reaches their hand out to help you, you receive that help because it helps guide you through this world. When you reach your hand out to Yahweh, your mind of understanding, he gives you what I had said before. We have a lot that came to hear things that most of us listening can never understand. That's true. But this is what Yahweh's ministry does, makes all this misunderstanding very possible. Many came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching. You know, those that don't get the proper teaching, when they look, they can never find what we find. These are the misinformed. They can do none of these things. But once again, this is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. Because we have to be aware, by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know we have many out there that camouflage evil or confused teachings and use an overly loud bump the gums contest for their method of righteous learning. This way they try to force you into their way of understanding, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that know. Because we should remember, as it has been said before, the seer put it out there, we're looking for the best, but the best is already here. We're waiting for the rest to come, and the rest are those people that need the words of Yahweh. We have to know that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, this is every spirit that confessed that Yahweh the Son has come in the flesh is not that of Yahweh. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahweh. For you have heard that it should come. Even now already is in the world. And this is what makes things so tough, that misunderstanding. Everybody trying to give you their way. Well, it's not their way. It's the Bible way. We got a reminder in Matthew's chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. 4 says, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Yahweh the Son, and shall deceive many. And that's what I was trying to explain before. But using that method, we look and see what it says in the Bible about the same thing I talked about. But this is one of the reasons why we asked you. And remember, it's the non-righteous job is to lead you astray. Like a man I spoke of once before, that tried to deceive the elder, using all kinds of lost and confused understanding to convince me to follow his direction. You have many people out there like that, believe me, even some pastors. So we're here to help guide you through these dark times of loud bump the gums for righteous learning and mistaught Christianity. We welcome and thank you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost about Yahweh's word, which we're finding Yahweh's word confuses a lot of people, angers some. They even asked us, how can you guys get this much information out of just one book? Well, it comes from connecting the books, your health, foods you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, all this and much more we get from this one book, because you have not. This information you came to seek and have to look no further, because you have now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you for this learning on the normal days, the Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those normal days are Sunday and Monday, Wednesday and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. The class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class at 12 p.m. and an online class at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. Generally, when we announce these things, it becomes almost like second nature. A lot of people listen to what's being said on the commentary, and they just listen, but they don't receive it properly. So we generally try to emphasize that so it does sink in a little bit. You know, like I said, we have a website address, and when you use this address, you need one of your devices, then on the search line, enter trybeyonddrop.com. The reason for this is after you click enter, just under the big line, you will see some choices. Now, one of these choices will be tithes and offerings. The step to get into tithes and offerings is click where it says donate with PayPal. That's step number one. The next step is click send. Enter the amount that you wish to send. With a message, if you like. You can also include a message for the reason why you're contributing. And when you do, may Yahweh bless you. Doing this, remember also what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you join this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. And once again, mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8. And verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus says Yahweh live. And also, as we often talk about, to build a school, Yahweh's teaching, a banquet hall for the gathering of the members, a radio station where we can get nationwide, and land to grow the health foods that we often speak of on this program, also Yahweh. Also while there, check the calendar on the same internet address I gave you. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program, which is a feature that's available during live broadcast time. To get there, three words this time, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, once again, look for Tribe of Yadah, Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This is an international number where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 or 9 accounts of Yahweh's ministry. But now also in saying that, we have to remind you, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling that same number, you can order the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. We had an issue with that once before. It was kind of funny, where we had sent out the 12 programs of the Tribes of Israel to one individual. They gave us the right name. They gave us the wrong address. It came back. We called them again. They gave us another address. We sent it out. It came back. So it was kind of a funny situation. That's why I said always make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. However, on another note, the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos about different situations, and now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints, and that's besides the problems with the program. So please, use the international line of 224-600-5579, and if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. As I said, unless you call trying to teach, you're only going to hear a discouraging bell. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. The program time will be repeated after 10:30. And to do this, just enter three words, Daquan Radio Live. And when you click enter, look for Voices of the Truthlights, Tribe of Gada. That way, you'll be able to pick up the program that you are late logging into any previous day that you would like to listen. And also, during our normal broadcast, another area where we have been lacking is that many people used to log onto broadcast using Pal Talk. Right after you get through listening to broadcast, you can listen to Pal Talk even simultaneously. Or we will be transmitting our same information on Pal Talk. It can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer. But you have to download the Pal Talk app. When you get there, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the Truthlights, Tribe of Yada. Our room will hold 50 or more listening participants where Yahweh's Word will be working also for your Bible education. Online there, to answer the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be over Mr. Tales Israel, along with Seer Israel, riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find that broad talk ends before teaching time. Generally, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But as I said before, if you wish to contribute to our broadcasts, it can be done very easily by following the steps that I mentioned in the beginning. Just by Yahweh Radio Live, when you get to one section, you will see a big lion. And right under the big lion, you'll see the options. And one of the options will be tithes and offerings. As soon as you click tithes and offerings, you will notice that it says donate to Pal Talk, donate to our ministry. When you click that, the next will be continue. And the amount, and it's just as simple as that. Following the instructions, you'll be able to contribute to Yahweh's ministry. So we will pass our program back over to our seer Israel, and we will ask before we go. Don't just listen. Take notes. Receive the words of Yahweh. Understand the information that we're passing out. It's to help you, your loved ones, and especially yourselves. Because remember, we can help no one until we help first ourselves. So I'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah.
All right, yo, that was excellent. You part that, you know, you kind of grow into it in grand style in your position. That's a great thing. So awesome. Well, we see the young line Micaiah, but we know he's not, he's up on the road a little bit. But we didn't get a Yahweh be with you out of him. And Panchoke, we know sooner or later he'll be back up enough to holler that microphone real good. But we might as well just acknowledge that he's on the broadcast by saying, up and coming to teach out of Camp 1, Brother Micaiah, we want to make sure we know you're there. Yep. Yahweh bid you that thing right.
And Yahweh bless you there to Israel. Oh, see, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. It's good to know you're on the right road back for recovery, and that's a great fact. So we know you're going to be just riding shotgun tonight, and that's a great thing, too. You, just like myself, a great note taker. So am I. So, Elder, Mr. Tibbs. Let's take a look at, I heard some of you say it. I mean, I heard all of you say it, but I always make notes on things. This tape number 112, and let me tell those that, you know, contributed to the ministry by trying to help make tastes and don't know what label to put on it, it just listen to the broadcast real carefully. And whatever you hear that sounds great, put that on the label, and because we never know what we're going to say or do, because here's the reason why. Hey, Elmer, what do it say in Matthew 10:19? Elmer, tell us, what do it say we can read in Matthew 10, verse 19?
Okay. In the book of Matthew, looking at chapter 10, I think you said verse number 19.
Mm-hmm.
19 says, but when they deliver you up, take no thought or how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be delivered up, no doubt about it. Matter of fact, he talked about that, Elder. Talked about that you're going to be delivered up in the 16th chapter. St. John 1 through 5, before we from Luke 12:12, he do talks about you going to be delivered up. Keep that in your mind, you going to be delivered up. Well, you know, that's the part I don't like it, but I might have to be delivered up. Well, he talks about that based upon when your Lord sits on the table, exactly what they're going to do in 16 chapter of St. John 1 through 5. Hey, yo, let's take our time and we wait on those that come on stage. You know, come on stage and we'll spread out a little bit. But right now, in 16 chapter St. John 1 down to verse 5, let's see if we get the national audience on the international side warmed up on knowing that you will be delivered up sooner or later. St. John 16, 1 down to verse 5. What does it say?
In the book of St. John, chapter 16, reading verses 1 through 5. Verse number 1 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. 2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yet the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does Yahweh's service. 3, all these things they will do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. 4, but these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I say not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. 5, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where thou goest.
Mm-hmm. He said, but now I go to him that sent me. And that's big talk there, you know. The one that sent him in St. John chapter 15, who sent him? So, you know, they got, you know, statements out there that if God's the Father, God's the Son, God's the Holy Ghost, they got them all over the place, but he said, I'm going back to the one that sent me. I wonder who sent him that we can read. And let's see, what do we say is behind that, Elder? We're going to look at St. John chapter 15. I want to find out something on the way to find out something. In St. John 15, he said, I go to the one that sent me. Let's see what else he says that we can read. In the 14th chapter verse number 28. What it says in 14:28 of St. John there, Elder Mr. Till? 14:28, come on, of St. John.
Okay. In the book of St. John, 14, looking at verse number 28, says, "Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If ye loveth me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I."
Mm-hmm. So he said, my Father is greater than I. So he mentioned nothing about a third person there, Elder. And then he makes it real plain what he's saying. Then he has to break it down real plain about who's who and who's not in the eighth chapter. Why can he make it real plain, St. John chapter 8, what he's really saying? And we'll look at 18, St. John chapter 8, pick up verse 16, down to verse number 19. Let's see him make it real plain of what that means, my Father is greater than I. What does that really mean that we can read in St. John chapter 8, verse 16 down to verse 19? Come on, Hill.
In the book of St. John, once again, looking at chapter 8, going from 16 to 19, verse 16 to 19. 16 says, "And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father, I the Father that sent me." 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." 18, "I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." 19. "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Yahweh the Son answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but read verse 16 real carefully, Elder. Read that verse 16 real carefully. There's a word left out in verse 16. And he's going to make it plain in verse 16. Take your time. Look at that verse 16 real carefully. Come up.
Verse number 16. "And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me."
Yes. "I and the Father have sent me." I am not. You're going to make it plain in 17 what that means by I and the Father have sent me. He's going to make it real plain right here in verse 17. What do you say in verse 17?
17 says, "It also is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true."
He say you can go back on the left side of the book and read that all the testimony you're going to get is out of two men. Now, the only two men are going to be the one that is giving all the orders out, two men. Now, who are two men going to be giving out all the orders? He said you can find out on the left side of the book. So who are these two men going to be giving out all the orders in verse 18?
18 says, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me."
So that's it right there. So that God the Father, God the Son, which is polluted for YHWH, that's the end of it. Everything else is called the ministering spirits of angels that come down and bring the message. They's not in that position and never will be as that position. Now, but you got somebody can be in that position if you learn this word to understand this word. Look what he says in prophecy. Angel came down and told David something. And 82 verse 6, Dale, he looked David eyeball to eyeball and said, son, he's David. Do you know, I will sit down and tell you something, David. And look what he says in 82 verse 6 of the book of Psalms. The angel is bringing this message down to David. And in Psalms 82, verse 6, he's going to make a profound statement to David. And what did he say? We can read 82, verse 6, of Psalms.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 82, verse number 6 reads, I have said, ye are Yahuwah, and all of you are the children of the Most High.
Oh, so he did. So it is some. So this is called letting you know that you are Yahuwah, and all the children, and all the children of the Most High. So he's talking about a people that is to be Yahuwah once they understand their rightful position. So 1,000 years later, he came in the body, Elder. He came in the body in St. John chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, and he rehearsed his same righteous act. Remember, whatever's said on the left side of the book is also rehearsed on the right side of the book. So his Bible is based on the Old Testament and New Testament. This is a continuation of writing up to 96 A.D. After 96 A.D., the Almighty Father that wrote the book according to Revelation chapter 5 and gave it to his son. The story has been told. So when the son grabbed the book in Revelation 5, which you not going to read, he read his part that the Almighty wanted him to do. He didn't know his part until he read his part. Same thing about you. You ain't going to know your part until you read your part. And we call this broadcast 6 nights a week, and we're back on the airways again tomorrow on a special edition called Thursday evening because there's no beast involved. We'll be back on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So we'll be ready to go. It's up to you to be ready to go. We'll be ready to go. So now, 1,000 years later, Elder, he came back on the scene. And let's see what did he say in St. John 10, 34 and 35? Hey, what did he say we can read, J.L.?
In the book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. 34 reads, Yahuwah the Son answered them, it is not written in your law or Torah instructions. I said, ye are Yahuwah's. 35. If he called them Yahuwah's, unto whom the word of Yahuwah came, and the scripture cannot be broken.
You see, the man said, he said, is it not written in your law? I told you who you are. Now, if you want to continue to be called by all these Proverbs 28, 37, Proverbs and bywords, that's up to you. But I told you who you are. You are Yahuwah. You is the only, we'll read that a little bit later. But he's telling you your position. He sent the angel to tell David. Then he came in the body and looked his 12 followers called disciples, eyeball to eyeball, and told them, you are Yahuwah. You are children of the Most High. So he tells you some things going to happen to you if you don't pay me no never mind. Now, let's come back and find out. We see Mother coming on the stage, so we'll bring Mother in shortly. But he said, this is what's going to happen to you when you pay him no never mind. Back to Psalm 82, verse 7. Let's see if we can read 82, verse 7 there. Psalm 82, verse 7. Let's see what will happen to you if you keep on paying him no never mind. 82, verse number 7.
A book of Psalms, chapter 82. Reading verse number 7. 7 says, but ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. And fall.
He said, but you will die like men.
Princes.
And you're gonna fall like one of the princes. And that's Satan the devil. you're going to mess around and pay the order of Yahweh, no, never mind. And you're going to fall. Because when you to be addressed, you're going to be addressed when the other nations see you as the children of Yahweh. That's how you're going to be addressed. But you're not addressed that way now. Because right now, when they address you now, they call you African American, Negro, and color, and Christian, and Muslim, and Jehovah Witnesses, and stuff like that. They call you all type of things that when you do the research on it, don't none of it add up. So once you understand who you are, you're out of poverty. The Psalm said, you are Yahweh. The angel told David, you are Yahweh. But you're going to fall. You're going to fight men and fall like one of the princes. Why are you going to do that? Because you're not going to pay the Bible, no, never mind. Okay? So we're going to bring our mother in, and we'll talk to them on everything. And like I said, those who making the labels on the tape, listen to the broadcast, and whatever best to put on that tape, fine. Put it on there, because it's going to be an eye-opener, because everything we do is pertaining to everything we do is pertaining to Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What's Luke 12 say?
In the book of Luke, looking at chapter 12, reading verse number 12, it says, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right. And so we never know what the righteous spirit is going to say and which way we go on at a lesson. We listen and we obey. So that's why we teach a spirit-led ministry. And those of the six anointed camps have the same mindset. And we know sooner or later one day it's going to be the great big school, great big triple site, school, banquet hall, because it's needed. Because our youth is in trouble. Right now, if you look at the news or whatever happened, look at all the killing came over. Look at all the stealing happened on pagan days that make no sense, according to the Bible. Pagan days. And those that got caught up into it because of the lack of information. That's why when you see the seer, he most likely has two handkerchiefs where he's always crying. Because he said, why are you crying now, Fear? Y'all put tears in my eyes. Because things you do, like for example, you got people that can't do tradition. They eat hog on a January the 1st. And then January 1st is not New Year. What? That's not the Bible New Year. How can you call January the 1st New Year when everything is out there that of Yahweh's making that off the trees, everything cringes and hiding out. Ain't nothing coming out. So how is that new year mean new growth? Huh? New growth, something coming up. Now in a couple of months, you're going to come into a holiday called Passover, and that's going to be the new year of the Bible, Passover. And he makes it plain what you're supposed to do on Passover. Matter of fact, let's bring Mother in. We might see, that's what I'm saying. We never know where we're going. But we're going to talk about that right now, then. But first, we'll bring our Mother in. Mother E. So when you meet one of the mothers out of camp one with a loud voice, you said, Mother E. One of the mothers out of camp one. Yahweh bless you, see you right.
Yahweh bless you, Israel. I'll see you all. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, well, there, Mother. Sound like you ready up and ready to go. That's a great thing. And probably we might hit with Mother Z a little bit later on the commentary. And like I said, again, she said, I get in where I've been in there. That's all that matters to me. That's a great thing. So now, Mother, I just made a profound statement based upon New Year's a tassel. We made a profound statement. I'm going to take a statement there, Mother, that the Bible New Year is dazzled. Because the son, mother, let's find out when was he born anyway. Let's find out when the son was born anyway. I mean, you know, I see a lot of things out there like babies in mangers and three wise men. I see a lot of things as you travel the bus system. You see a lot of things happen. And a lot of people, they really believe that because they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't put it out there. Not a lot of pain. And they had a lot of hog over the weekend, too. But mother, they had a lot of hog over the weekend. And Deuteronomy chapter 14, mother. I'm going to take a look at that real quick. Let me see if the Bible supports that. The hog meat. And Deuteronomy 14, mother, they had a lot of hogs. If you went past the slaughterhouse, you heard a whole lot of hogs just seeing their brothers and sisters get mugged up in there. They said, no, we supposed to eat the filth of the earth. No. We know your job is to eat the filth of the earth, but we're going to kill you because our preacher wants you on his dinner table. For a cringing day called January the 1st. But mother, what do we say about that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2? Now, Moses had a lot to say, and Yahweh worked with Moses. And Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, mother, can you help those see on the national audience over 900,000 strong on the international side? What did he say in 14, verse 2? Deuteronomy. What
do you
say, mother?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 2. You are the children of the Yahweh, your Yahweh. You shall not cut yourself nor make any boldness between your eyes for the dead.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, well, picking up verse 2, that's right. He said, that's right, mother. I mean, that wasn't like this. You are the children of Yahweh. So that means you're a children of Yahweh. So what does that make you? You got your ring. What does that make you? That makes you Yahweh. You are children of Yahweh, like you. Like they say, they're the children of that father right there. So that makes them, you know, whatever that father is, that's what they are. So that's a good point, mother. But what does it say in verse 2?
Verse 2. For thou art a righteous people unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and the Yahweh has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth.
Well, yeah. Come on, mother. Well, that was lesson reading, mother. That's right.
That's
all, mother. You're right. Hey, mother, you don't point that. Let those kids get in there. Now you took out the business on your part so far. He said, you are a righteous people unto himself. And he's trying to tell you your position is not to be followers above all the nations upon the face of earth. Now, this got to be told. See, this is what is so important about the school to come. Matter of fact, read that elder, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. That's why it's so important to get in where you fit in at. This school has got a Romans 4:17 on it. What does it say there? Romans 4:17.
In the book of Romans chapter 4, reading verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even Yahweh will quicken the dead and call those things which be not as though they were.
And that's what we're doing right now. We called about the land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. You gotta speak it into existence. Although it's not, but it is. It's going to happen. Why? Because if you follow the rules and regulations of the Bible, it's going to happen. Man, to grow your own food. So we can know what we're putting in our body. Our school, we teach our babies. Our banquet hall, so we can keep the feast days. And our own radio station where we're not dictated about what to say and how to say it and when to say it. We just show you what the Bible's saying, and you take it where you want to take it. Because everything we tell you, you're going to be able to read it first, and we're only going to comment on what the Bible's saying. That's why it's so important, getting where you've been in it. Because your babies is at stake. You know, you got babies sitting out there in the cold. What's wrong, son? Well, my parents, when they were getting me nothing for Christmas, so they never came across his mind if we've been taught right to understand Christmas is pagan. New Year's is pagan. It got nothing to do with no birth of Yahweh the Son. Nothing to do with it. And then the traditions about getting you eating hog on January the 1st, that's a tradition, but it's blasphemy if you're a bloodline Israelite. Now, the other nation can do that. But mother getting ready to read, what he get ready to say in verse 2, nobody says over here in verse number 3 of Deuteronomy, Almighty is talking to Moses. Look what he says in verse number 3 at moment. Deuteronomy 14, verse 3. What did he say?
Okay. Deuteronomy 14, verse 3. Deuteronomy 14, verse 3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing.
You see that? He said you should not eat no abominable thing. You should not eat no abominable thing. That's what he's saying. Like what, mother? Like what you should not eat in verse number 8?
Verse number 8 and the swine, because it divided. And the swine, because it divides the hoof, yet cheweth not the cruet. It is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass.
He says swine. That means a pig. The pig. That's what he's saying. Pig. He said pig. You should not be eating on January the 1st or no other day. Nor touch it. That pig he's talking about. He said that moon or pig. That's the swine. Pig. He said, you don't touch that pig, and you don't eat that pig. That's what he say. You don't touch the pig, you don't eat the pig. They got a tradition in these big organizations, religious organizations, they eat the pig January the 1st. Why do you do that? You start off, although that's the wrong time to start the year anyway, Passover is the beginning of the Bible. But you started people off sin from the get-go. That's the Israelite. Mm-hmm. Go away to get him up in verse number 3. Where it says Deuteronomy 14, 3, mother.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing.
You should not eat no abominable thing. You should not do it. That was the Almighty telling you to protect your body. Now, mother, put a mark on there, mother. No, we're at the elder. Just the elder grab that one. Just stay where you at, mother. Hey, elder. Back up to the 11th chapter, mother. Elder, look still. And look at verse 11 and 2, Leviticus. And then we'll skip down to the last two verses of Deuteronomy. So read verse 11, 1 and 2, elder. Let's see what he's saying in Deuteronomy 11, 1 and 2. Let's see who he's telling you should not eat nothing abominable. Let's see who he's talking about in Deuteronomy 11, verse 1 and 2, Elder.
Was it Deuteronomy or Leviticus?
Make it Leviticus. Chapter 11, 1 and 2. There we have, Moses. Come right back here in a minute. We just want to take a look at something. One, the biggest 11, 1, 2, and 29.
I'm taking notes so I'll remember where I'm at. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, reading verses 1 and 2 and 29. 1 says, And the Yahuwah spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse number 29. It says, These also shall be unclean unto you among all the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind.
What do you mean by a weasel? That's that old that thing you got, you know, run out them pops. That's in the same family, the old pops. We bought it for possum hunting. Now that weasel is pop. We love to catch pops.
Look like a
that's that same weasel. That raccoon. Raccoon. We love to go raccoon hunting, possum hunting, all that's part of the weasel. He said, and nothing you're supposed to eat, you're supposed to eat no mouse. I don't eat no mouse. I might check him and show him out. If you eat the weasel, he putting the mouse and the weasel in the same family. The mouse, the weasel, they're all in the same family. That raccoon, that weasel, that possum, all in the same family with the rat. And look what he say. And the turtle. You know what a turtle is? You know what a hard shell. Well, what you going now? Granddaddy, I'm going turtle hunting. I'm going looking for me a good, nice turtle. You see? When you're eating turtle, you might as well eat the mouse. All of them come together, come say something. He going to punish you. Now look at WCC. See, where he going to punish you at from eating a turtle? Where he going to punish you at, WCC? Where he going to punish you at? Hey, yo, hold that point. And 65, yo, of Isaiah, where he going to punish you at? Let's see if he going to punish you from eating. If you eat any of the stuff, the weasel, the raccoon, the turtle, you might well put the mouse with. You got a big time a group of people. We're not gonna call them out. They make sure they got their restaurants in their country. You can eat any way you want to eat. They got them. Cat, dog, rat. Just go on your computer. What you do on your computer? We ain't signifying. We just call the way it is. Just put, where can I find me a good cat, dog, rat sandwich? Just put it on your computer and see what come up. And see what would come up. A cat, rat, or dog sandwich. Or a snake. Just put it in your food. Where can I get me a snake, rat, dog, or cat sandwich? What restaurant carries them four items? That's all you do. Then you'll say, then you might be all right. Well, I think going to hell, are we going away, Elder? Isaiah 65.
You said something about Isaiah.
Yeah, Isaiah 65. Let's find out if there's any penalty for violating the scriptures. We tell you what not to eat. Like that, January the 1st, you know, you hear the slaughterhouses all over the known world. Everybody was hot. Just trying to kill them all up and you cut their ears off, cut their tails off, cut their feet off, pull the guts out of their body and pack it into cans and to containers and said, we clean, clean Gentiles. We got people we pay. They can cost you three times the money for the regular Gentiles. It will cost you three times ago. We gotta pay them to clean it. So that's called clean killing. Yeah, clean killing. Isaiah 65, Elder. We're going to see what your preacher part of this right here. So here, but you got to tell your preacher the penalty of it. In Isaiah 65, Elder, it talks about the penalty that is to come. See, the fear of God is to receive the message and pass it on to the next fear. So now, in Isaiah 66, take it 66, Elder. 66, verse number 15. Let's bring it. Let's bring him from out of the mouth of the Almighty. Gonna bring him. Isaiah 66, verse 15. And we'll keep reading till we get our point. Pick up verse 15. Take your time, Elder. The world listen and come out.
Okay, that was Isaiah 66 or 56?
66. Pick up verse 15. We'll read till we get our point.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, readings at verse number 15. 15 says, "For behold, Yahweh shall come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire." 16. "For by fire and his sword will be the Yahweh pleased for." For fire and by his sword will the Yahweh fled with all flesh, like slain of the Yahweh.
Hold on, he's not going to do a James, bro. He's going to plead with all flesh. He said now by his sword, he's going to plead with all flesh. That's what he's going to do. He said by fire and a sword, he's going to plead with all flesh. Whatever next, Elder.
"And the slain of the Yahweh shall be many." 17. "They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine flesh and abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Yahweh."
18. That's it. Hold on. That's good enough. You see, that's 17. He said, sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree. That's talking about Satan's devil. In the midst. Eating pig flesh. Remember January 1st? All these big organizations was eating a whole lot of hogs. A whole lot of pigs they was eating. All these big organizations eating a whole ton of pigs. Pigs are coming in everywhere. Had their back, cut their back down the middle, pulling the guts out. They couldn't wait to get the guts. God dog, family, wait. I ain't killed this hog yet. Recruiting's cutting on the back and giving his guts out of his stomach. Giving the guts out of his stomach. Take that stomach. The man, and they ain't got the hog, ain't even made inside the store yet. They got to cut the hog and take their bucket and dip that bucket in that in his belly and give people what they want. Killing. You see what you need? Then you want to know why you always got to see Dr. Cook. You know, you wonder why you have high blood pressure, all these problems in your body. Anytime the Almighty tell you not to put this, don't touch it. And now you go into a store, and the people say, we ain't killed this hog yet. We're holding killing and dip a bucket in, give me them killing, give me his stomach, inside his stomach. Give it to me. You see that? We in bad shape as a people. And you got a lot of these big ministries. They were, and they told old preacher, come over and preach and put your hand on top of his, the head of his pig and bless the pig. How you going to bless something? Yahweh said you don't touch it. Now your preacher going to bless the hog. You see what it is? And you went hook, line, and sinker on him blessing the hog, putting his hand on top of the hog, and Almighty said, don't touch it, don't eat it. It's an abomination to you. You see what it is? January the 1st, you get that hog, you get them chillers. That's what you did. But he said, but he told the seer the prophecy of this thing. Here's the prophecy on it. He said the prophecy of it in verse 17. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating pig flesh and the abomination of the mouth. So if you're eating pig, you might eat the mouth. It's all coming together. Then what do you say going to happen? Shall be consumed together, says the four-letter man. See that? So if you're partaking on eating that hog, understand one thing. If you don't repent and run out of that ministry, it says in 17, shall be consumed together, says Yahuwah. So if you're eating a hog, you might well eat the pig. If you're eating the pig, you might well eat the mouse, the rat. You might well eat it because all of it come together. If you're eating that weasel, you're eating that turtle, you might well eat it. Just eat all of it together. Why half step? Go out with a bag. Eat all that abomination food because the man going to punish you just like you. The mouth, the hog, the pig flesh. like preacher say, yeah, preacher say, hey, what you doing with them hog maw? He said, no, just put them in. They only for the season, the green, hog maw. They only to season the green, the neck bones and the hog maw. No, we never eat that. We just use that to season the green. They call it salt meat. We're not going to eat it, but it's only to season the green. See what they do? That's how they act. But so we see Dollar coming. We see Dollar Yahuwah. See, I'm going to hog that microphone, too. We got old Dollar. Old Dollar came on stage. You see me bring in Dollar Yahuwah and see if she ready to hog that microphone, too. So when you meet the Dollar, out of camp one, daughter of Yahuwah. Yahuwah, be just T. Royce. Is that your daughter? Oh, excuse me. I thought that was daughter. No, I'm not daughter. I'm one of them big dignitaries that's listening to you real carefully. Oh, okay. Okay. You know, they got their way of making their statement well across the broadcast, but only in my ears and eyes. Well, I guess you got it like that. Technology is something else. Good stuff. So Mother, let's go back, Mother, and Deuteronomy. So we found out, Mother, that the Almighty was telling Moses to tell the children of Israel. That was daughter Yahuwah? I'm not sure. I got a message. No,
daughter Yahuwah.
I just said Yahuwah. Bless you.
All right, we didn't hear you that, daughter. We didn't hear you, daughter. I'm sorry, one of the big things. But we're ready to hear you now, daughter Yahuwah. So let's go back and start all over again. Daughter Yahuwah, Yahuwah, be there, see you, Roy.
Yahuwah, bless you, seer of Israel, see you, Roy.
All right, daughter. I'm going to run back to Mo. Hey, Mother, we found out in Deuteronomy 14 something, Mother. We found out in Deuteronomy 14 some profound statements. And Yahuwah is talking. He says in 14 verse 8, you eat that pig. You know, you eat that pig. And Mother, all I need is two more verses, verse 9 and 10. And Deuteronomy 14 verse 9 and 10. What else you going to eat, Mother, in verse 9 and 10?
Deuteronomy 14, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9. Yes, the scent of water is Well, good.
Well, hold on, Mother. Hey, hold on, Mother. Look at Deuteronomy 14:9-10 real carefully. Deuteronomy 14:9-10. Look at it real carefully there, Mother. Deuteronomy 14:9-10.
Oh, okay. Deuteronomy 14:9-10. These you shall eat of all that are in the water. All that have fins and scales shall you eat. Verse 10. And whatsoever have not fins and scales, you may not eat. It is unclean unto you.
Well, you don't say no may not tell you. You're right. You may not eat it. It is unclean to you. That's exactly right, Mother. So he's telling you, you don't eat no shrimp, lobster, frog legs, and what they say, octopus. So you don't eat that. It is unclean to you. Now, the other nations can eat that stuff because you gotta understand your position. You don't think you can eat that, but you forgot what Yahweh said. And more, read one more time, Mother. See, you got to know your position. See, one of the greatest mysteries in teaching and understanding, you got to know your position. See, they got it where all men and women is created equal. Yeah, because you're not reading no Bible. But when you read the Bible, it tells us something in verse 2, Mother. For the national audience, hey, Mother, what do the Almighty tell Moses to tell the elders in 14, verse 2 of Deuteronomy? What do you say, Mother?
Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art a righteous people unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and the Yahweh has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. It will all the nations that are upon the earth.
Telling you, you are a special people, and your position is above all the people on the face of the earth. Now, he didn't stumble with that, daughter of Yahweh. He didn't stumble with that. He precepted that to the 26th chapter, 15 out of verse 19. Let's see what he said, that daughter of Yahweh, Deuteronomy chapter 26, 15 down to verse 19. Now, listen, if you want the fear to put a prayer in place, understand it's called a condition that you got to do for the fear can get a prayer up for you. We're going to read the conditions right now out of the mouth of Moses in 26:15 down to verse 19. What is that, daughter Yahweh? Come on.
What was that again?
Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15 to 19.
Look down from thy righteous habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, in the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers. A land that flows with milk and honey. 16. This day the YHWH Yahweh have commanded thee to do these statutes and judgment. You shall therefore keep and do them with all thy mind and with all thy soul. Verse 17. Thou hast avouched YHWH Yahweh this day to be thy YHWH Yahweh, and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto his voice. Verse 18. And the YHWH Yahweh have avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised you, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Verse 19. And to make thee high above all nations which ye have made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be and righteous people unto the YHWH Yahuwah, thy YHWH Yahuwah, as he hath spoken.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's back it off for the national audience. Take care, dog. We read that verse again, and we'll do a little precepting on that verse to see what we come up with. Look at that verse 18 again there, daughter. 18 one more time.
Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 18. And the YHWH Yahuwah hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people.
Mm-hmm.
As he hath promised thee.
Hold on right there, daughter. That's for the national order thing. Because this word can be taken as a weirdo. Look at the peculiar people outside of my privilege. That word there is kind of loaded. But we come on the broadcast 6 nights a week to kind of edify the national. That's why this word really means peculiar when we see it. By going to Deuteronomy 7, verse number 6, down to 15. Let's see if we break this word down and see exactly what this word peculiar means by going to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. Let's see if we precept that daughter, Yahuwah, come on. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 down to verse 10. Daughter of Yahuwah. Let's precept that word, daughter. Come on, daughter.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 10. For thou art a righteous people unto the YHWH Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah. The YHWH Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah, have chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The YHWH Yahuwah did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. 8. But because the YHWH Yahuwah loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your father, have the YHWH Yahuwah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of a house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 9. Know therefore that the YHWH Yahuwah, he is YHWH Yahuwah, the faithful YHWH Yahuwah, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hate him. He will repay him to his face.
Read that 7-6 again. So when we see the word peculiar, what big word we should put there, and let's read the whole verse out here, and you pick out the words that we should use besides the word peculiar and 7-6. Now, what word should we edify the national audience with when you read the whole verse? 7-6, come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art a righteous people unto the YHWH Yahuwah, thy YHWH Yahuwah. The YHWH Yahuwah, thy YHWH Yahuwah, have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all that are upon the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So we see the word. And peculiar, the word that goes there to really edify those that got ear to hear, what word should we put in there, daughter, according to 7 verse 6 of Deuteronomy?
He have chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself.
A special person. 7 verse 6, daughter Yahuwah is special. When you tell your offspring that you are a special person, that really lifts them up. But you tell them they're a peculiar person, that word can go two different ways. But when you look one of your loved ones and say, you know, my baby, you are special. And they say, yeah, Mom, I'm special, huh? Yeah, it really will kind of ears to go up on hearing the word called special. Because the word peculiar can go two ways. It can go as a weirdo. But the best way to deal with that K-9, when you see the word peculiar, 14 statutes. According to Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, the word peculiar means special. You are a special child to me. And guess what? They'll get happy behind that. That's why it's so important to get in where you fit in at, which is land, school, banquet hall, and radio station. We got to reach our youth from grade level up to look them eyeball to eyeball and tell them little Israelite child and other nations that you are a special person. You are a special child. And they will never forget that if you call them, but if you call them peculiar. Tomorrow, my teacher called me peculiar. Oh, but what you had on, knick-knack socks or something? You got to be very careful with that peculiar of the mean properly special. All right. So now, then another thing in that verse that was read, I want to make sure we're clear about that word, because we come on this broadcast to make sure we edify. Now, there's another word that was used in that, daughter, and I want to kind of precept that word and see what we come up with that word. I want to hear it read again. Hey, daughter, I want to hear another word read again. Read verse number 8. I'm going to read verse 8 again, and I want to precept this word in verse number 8 and see what best to go there in verse 8. Deuteronomy 7, verse 8.
But because the YHWH Yahuwah loved you, and because he would keep an oath which he had sworn unto your father, have the YHWH Yahuwah brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you of the house of bondage for the hand of Pharaoh, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. I want to precept this word. He's talking about a people, the word called house. I want to precept this word called house and see what best goes there. Go to the 23rd chapter, daughter. On a precept that word called house. I want to go to Jeremiah 33. And I see that word house. What best goes there? We go on this. In Jeremiah 33, daughter. And we're going to look at what word can best go there instead of the word house. We're going to precept it to Jeremiah 33. And we're going to see in verse 24. Let's see what word goes there when we see the word called house. 33, 24, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 24. Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Yahuwah YHWH have chosen, he have even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them.
Yeah.
So when we see this word called house, you got two words kind of come up with that kind of locked it in, called family or nation. That's what goes called building or building. And that's what a preacher used all the time. He'll say, do you have a church house? Do you have a church house? You ain't got a church house. We welcome you to come to our church house. And so when you see his word in the Bible, when you see his word called house, when you're edifying, the word should be family or nation. It all depends on which one of these words fits, because it describes the people, not a building. and building ain't going nowhere. But this family or nation will go there. Now, we got that part of the way. Now, hey, Elder, so we gotta make sure that on that hog eating, Elder, not to use them last two verses in Leviticus now. And we gotta make sure, but we gotta be taught that the Almighty has told us some things, Elder. He has told us some great things in Leviticus, some great things he has told us. Let's see what he tells us in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 44, down to verse 46. He has told us some great things, and what have he said? Leviticus chapter 26, verse 44, down to verse 46. What did he say? Leviticus 26, 44 to 46. What did he say to him?
Okay, in the book of Leviticus, looking at chapter 26, reading 44 to 46. 44 says, "And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Yahweh, their Yahweh." 45. "But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, Mizraim, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their Yahweh. I am the Yahweh."
Verse number, Now, you said a lot of things, Elder. Now, back to the 11th chapter. Back to the 11th chapter, same book. Now, he'll tell you, he said, I'm not going to break this covenant with you. I'll make this covenant with you. And I'm not going to break my end of it. But I'll tell you one thing. The only way that he's going to acknowledge you, you got to do your end of this covenant. So in the 11th chapter of Leviticus, Elder, can we pick it up around by verse 44 to 47 in the 11th chapter? Let's see what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, 44 down to verse 47. Let's see what he's saying for us to understand that he's a covenant keeper. What that means, you got to do your part. Now, once you do your part, then you in business. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 44 to 47. What is it? 44
down to verse 47. Well, was that Deuteronomy or Leviticus?
Make it Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 down to verse 47. Let's see what's going on.
Leviticus 44, looking at Leviticus chapter 11, reading 44 to 47.
44 to 47.
Reading 44 to 47. 44 says, "For I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be righteous. For I am righteous, neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." 45. "I am the Yahweh that bringeth you out of the land of Egypt, Mizraim, to be your Yahweh. Ye therefore shall be righteous, for I am righteous." 46. "This is the law of the beast and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and out, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth." 47. "To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten."
Mm-hmm. So you got to make a difference, but you put it in your mouth. You got to make a difference. Hey, check that battery in your microphone. You know, I think you got a little low, but check that battery. Now, so you got to make a difference. You can't put anything in your mouth. And we tell you what you don't put in your mouth, you don't put no pig, no rat, no coffee, no catfish, no shrimp, lobster. You don't put that in your mouth. You got to leave that alone. That is not good for the children of Israel. Now, the other nation can eat that stuff because we was created to have a special diet that we created to have. They wasn't. Y'all understand something? They can eat anything that they can get the knob off. But the children of Israel had a special diet. And if you understand that, hey, Mother E, that in the 7th chapter of 2nd Ezra, what would that do if we understand that in verse 20 and 21? And 2nd Ezra chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, Mother, if we understand that, we're talking about to our body. If we understand these things, let's see what he says in 2nd Ezra 7, Mother, verse 21 and 22. If we understand these things, 2nd Ezra 7, 21 and 22. What is it there, Mother?
2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. 2nd Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21. For Yahweh has given straight commandment to such as come what they should do to live, even as they come, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. 27. Nevertheless, they were not obedient unto him, but speak against him and imagine vain things.
You see that, Mother? But nevertheless, they never prayed. They never prayed on seal on never mind. But we tell you that if you follow the right way of the dietary that he gave for the children of Israel, you can avoid punishment. What do you mean by avoid punishment? You can avoid by being always got to have dark cooking on your sea dial. If you understand these things, you can avoid a lot of punishment. You don't have to have dark cook on your sea dial. Well, dark cook, what's wrong with you now? Well, my stomach. But see, we can avoid a lot of punishment if we just follow what he said to the children of Israel, but you got to know that you are a member of the children of Israel. So we're not anti-anybody. We just approach 12,000 missions. That's our mission. Everybody got their own mission to do. Just like you got other people that was created to do some things, and they got to fulfill they covenant. See, everybody got a covenant. That's the point we got to understand something. Everybody got a covenant. Fulfill their covenant. And you got to fulfill your covenant. Everybody got a covenant. So that's the way it is. And once you fulfill your covenant, you're going to be all right. But you got to know who you are. You fulfill your covenant. Now, because it makes it plain, Mother, in Isaiah 26, verse 10, it makes it plain what he's saying. See, we go out of our way to violate the scriptures. That's what we do. We go out of our way to violate the scriptures. But it's the same things we got to know, and God help me, Psalm 50, verse 16, hey, waiting on me, that daughter, Yahweh. Psalm 50, verse 16, we'll read you to get our point. See, we got to understand something, that the Bible is the greatest piece of literature we both have and understand. It can show you how to avoid punishment even in your body. Look what it says, little mother getting ready to read in 26, verse 10 of Isaiah. What does it say that, Mother?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 10. Let favor be shown to the wicked. They all did. Okay. Yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness? Will he deal unjust and will not behold the majesty of the Yahweh?
You see that, mother? You say, you see, you even say it. You say you can show favor to the wicked, but he just ain't going to do right. You can go out your way, and you can show favor to the wicked. You can go out and do all the right things with the wicked. But the wicked is just not going to do right. Read that again, mother, because the old film got a happy behind that verse. Out of your 26 verse 10. That's what he said again about the wicked. He said, I don't care what you do for the wicked. I don't care how much you did, but it was all said and done. What about the wicked? And 26 verse 10, mother.
Isaiah chapter 26, verse 10. That favor be shown to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness? Will he deal unjust and will not be whole the majestic of the Yahweh?
Yeah, mother. He said, you show favor to the wicked. He just ain't going to do right, mother. He just ain't gonna do right to the wicked. Mother, to the wicked. What do you mean by he won't do right? What is right according to 625 of Deuteronomy? What are you trying to say, mother? I don't care how much faith you show to the wicked, but the wicked ain't gonna do right. So now, mother, I'm gonna precept that, mother. I'll tell you what, I want to back up a little bit before you read verse 25. I want to back up and add a little bit more to that 25. So, in 25, mother, 525, before you read, who is he talking to in verse number 1? And, yeah, 5 verse 1, and get down to verse number 12 through 14, then we'll read verse 25. But then we'll be clear exactly what is he saying. He said, now, if you show favor to the wicked, you're not going to get no point in it to the wicked. What I want to know, mother, who is he trying to get this message across to? And Deuteronomy chapter 5, looking at verse number 1, 12 through 14, and 25. Take your time there, mother, and then we're going to get old daughter back on the clock to holler that microphone. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, 12 to 14, and 25. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ear this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Yahweh, your Yahweh, has commanded thee. 13. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. 14. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh, your Yahweh. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant. No, wait a minute. Let me go back over there. Nor the son, nor the daughter, nor the manservant, nor the maidservant, nor the ox, nor the ass, nor any of the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gate, that the manservant and the maidservant may rest, as well as thou.
Mm-hmm. 25.
Okay. 25. Now, therefore, why should we die for this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Yahweh, our Yahweh, anymore, then we shall die.
Well, Mother, I kind of blew that. Make that 625. Now, you go give me 625. I kind of blew that a little bit, Mother. See, you have to see out on this one and 625. So what is he saying? Mm-hmm. He said, Hold on, let the old seer get his old thoughts out for a minute. And you read in Isaiah 26:10, you can show favor to the wicked all you want them, but they're not going to do right. And you can find out who's wicked. There's no question about it, because you find out what I'm saying. You can show favor to them. You can be a volunteer, have always been a good tithe. We will offer donations and things that you want to me do, I'll do it. But all of a sudden, you show them some of this Bible, and everything you have did for them years, it's just contrary to their understanding, and they're turning you like a rattlesnake, the wicked. They're turning you like a rattlesnake, like a blue razor. A blue razor will run from you, but before you got any shaky, jakey in you, he'll turn around and chase you. And you got preachers out here, mother. Then once you show them what this Bible is saying, until him confessing up, he don't talk you wrong, he will tell you and whiteball you, you know, show you the dope. And you show them some of the Bible saying, and then they'll get very excited. So if you show favor to the wicked, and the wicked ain't going to do right, if he find out anybody you're dealing with is wicked, just show what the Bible's saying and see what we're going to do about this. The Bible says this for him. So what we're going to do about that? The Bible says don't eat no hog. Don't eat no catfish. Eat no shrimp, lobster. The Bible says keep the Sabbath day, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. Keep them feast days. And when you show what the Bible's saying, then they get mad at you. What do they get mad at you for? You show them the Bible. You trying to say your life, and you're trying to save his life, so he or she repent. But they'll get mad at you. That's why I say you gotta know who labor among you, but how you try them all is through this Bible. That's how you try anybody. You find out what you're working with through the Bible. Don't do, give me a precept there, daughter. Yeah, well, give me a precept. Don't do it, St. John's 7:24. Hey, daughter Yahweh, get old seer the national order what it say in St. John 7:24. What it say that, daughter?
St. John chapter 7, verse 24 reads, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
See, we make a judgment based upon appearance, but we don't make righteous judgment. And Mother E, give us a biblical definition of what we read in Isaiah 26:10. If you show favor to the wicked, he ain't gonna do right, or she ain't gonna do right. What they mean they ain't gonna do right? What that mean in 6:25 of Deuteronomy? Thank you, our young mind, Brother Micaiah. Brother Micaiah said, no, see, 6:25 up there. Okay, good. What is that in 6:25 there, Mother E?
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he had commanded us.
See, there's a commandment for us to do right. There's a commandment for us to do right. And doing right, according to the Bible, is keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. It is a commandment for us to keep the laws, statutes, and the commandments. So when somebody is drowning and you got potential to be a lifeguard of a lifeguard and somebody's drowning, they hoping that you jump in the water and pull them up for safety. that same way your principles are being when you're showing what we have been doing is totally wrong. And the Bible said we're doing it wrong, Mr. Preacher. Then the preacher gets mad at you because you show him in the Bible we're doing wrong. Right? You gotta watch that, because if you show him the Bible thing, you're gonna make a judgment according to the Bible. And the first thing your preacher's supposed to do, if he's about the people, he'll do a 319 of a book called Acts. The first thing a preacher do once you show him something and it's not correct, 319 of Acts. Let's say that daughter y'all, what would it say?
Okay. Acts. Hold on. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And it reads, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the YHWH Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So when you find out you're wrong and you show your preacher where you're wrong at, the preacher's supposed to feel like he was in the water and you was like God jumping in the water and saving him. They're not going to get mad at you saving them when you drown it. No, they're not going to get mad at you. They're going to be glad for you. Okay? To jump in the water and save them. Because when you find out you're wrong, like I tell them, anytime. If I'm found to be wrong scripture-wise, then bring it to my attention. I make a difference, because don't just be on tradition, See, they're just mad on tradition. But can you go in the Bible and show me where I'm wrong at? Matter of fact, we tell any ministry that listen to Six Anointed Candles called Voices of True Israelites, if we wrong on any point, or show us in the scriptures where we wrong at. Show us in the scriptures where we blaspheming or doing anything contrary in the scriptures. Show us in the Bible. Because we can read what it tells plainly of Daughter Yahuwah. It tells you and it makes it plain about something that, daughter, what it say? Exodus 3:15. I'm going to tell you something. What it say in 3:15 Exodus, daughter?
Okay, Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. And the YHWH Yahuwah said, moreover unto Moses, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, the YHWH Yahuwah, the Yahuwah of your father, the YHWH Yahuwah of Abraham, the YHWH of Isaac Yahuwah, and the YHWH Yahuwah of Israel, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
Mm-hmm. This is my name forever, and this is my name throughout all generations. So how many letters in his name there, daughter Yahweh? But that's in order to really understand this Bible. He said this is his name forever.
Four letters.
So, what is the four letters there, daughter?
YHWH.
YHW, give us the four letters, and this is his name forever. And what do we say is in Titus 1, verse 2 behind that, daughter? Titus 1, verse 2. What he says in Titus chapter 1, now Paul pulled Titus and Timothy aside and looked him eyeball to eyeball, and he told them something on the right side of the book. What he tells Titus and Timothy in 1, verse 2? What he said, daughter?
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life which YHWH Yahuwah, that cannot lie promised before the world began.
So he's not lying. And matter of fact, in 23:19, he make it plain and number. Hey, daughter Yahuwah, What he said in the heavenly canon is called Numbers 23, verse 19. Of Numbers. What he said, daughter?
The book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19 reads, Yahweh, YHWH, is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken it, and shall he not make it good?
If he said it, he's going to make it good. Now, let's see what he says to make it good. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Now he says, if he said it, he gonna make it good. That means he ain't lying about nothing. He said his name got on the four letters, one name. But if he said it, and he gonna make it good, let's find out. Go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 is real a bit dumb. Read still down to verse 25. Let's see. Do he say it and make it good? Deuteronomy 28, 15 down to verse 25. What
does
it say, daughter?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 and 25. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the YHWH Yahweh, thy Yahweh, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Verse 16, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of the body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flock of thy sheep. 19, cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. 20. The YHWH Yahweh shall send upon you cursing and vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. 21. The YHWH Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he have consumed you from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. 22. The YHWH Yahweh shall smite you with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Verse 23, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth is under you shall be iron. 24, and the YHWH Yahweh shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. Verse 25, the YHWH Yahweh shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Now, who that happened to? Read verse 21 and 22, daughter. Let's see if we precept that, daughter. I want to read verse 21 and 22. Now I want the nationals to listen, real chapter. He said, now listen, if you don't listen to me, hold on that, daughter. Don't fear, get in there. And you don't listen to me, all these things is going to come up on you. You're going to be cursed on everything you get your hand on. And he said, not only that, you're going to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. This is written in the book of Deuteronomy in the 1400s, telling Moses, if you don't listen to me and do all I say, you're going to be cursed on whatever you put your hand on, and you're going to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, if they're talking about everybody, or they're talking about a specific people, we're going to look at verse 21 and 22 one more time, daughter. Take your time, daughter. That means you're ready to deliver the knockout blow now. 21 and 22, come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 21 and 22. 21, the YHWH Yahuwah shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he have consumed you from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 22, the YHWH Yahuwah shall smite you with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew.
Yes.
And they shall pursue you until you perish.
And it's going to pursue you until you perish. Yeah, I'm going to put the sword on you. Now, the people in the time, I said, I'm going to put the sword on you. Now, we're going to precept that, daughter. We got to find out about this. This is prophecy that a sword is going to pursue you. That's what he said. Now, this is a prophecy. And Moses telling the elders to tell the 12 tribes that if you don't listen to me, I'm going to put the sword on you. Now, you want to precept that, daughter, in the book of Psalms, daughter. We're going to see exactly what is he saying, which is a prophecy in the 17th chapter of the book of Psalms. We're going to see, what do you mean by you going to put the sword on me? What are you talking about? And 17:13, daughter, kept the national order and deliver the knockout blow in 17:13. Now, if the angel is coming to David, in 1000 B.C., the angel is telling David about what was talked about in Deuteronomy. And now we're going to bring this one up and see what we're talking about in 17, verse 13. What is it, daughter?
Psalms chapter 17, verse 13. Arise, O YHWH Yahuwah, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
Ain't that so? Ain't that something? He said, the wicked is your sword. He said, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword. My. Look at this Bible trying to tell us something. Tell me, you really had a movie called, Color Purple? Somebody trying to tell you something? He said, it's wicked. It's going to be the sword. Now we're going to precept that, daughter, in the 27th chapter, verse 38. Disney and found out who is this sword that's gonna be the wicked. And remember Mother read in 26 verse 10, I don't care what you do for the wicked, he still ain't gonna do right. Now we found this wicked is that sword. We need to find a little bit more about this now by precept in the Bible, daughter Yahuwah, in the 27th chapter, verse 38. And we'll read till we get our point. Who is this sword that's called the wicked? The angel called him the wicked. The angel said that. Now hold that point. Just the angel said that. Hold that point, daughter. Hey, Mother E, what do it say in Matthew 12, 31, 32 about if the angel called you wicked and you take it another way? But both the angel say, the angels, the wicked is the sword. But Paul, you said, no, I ain't hearing that. Let's see what he got written, Mother E. In Matthew 12, 31, 32, 36, and 37. Let's see what the Bible is saying. If the angels say something, and you said, no, I ain't going with that. Let's see what he got written on that, Mother. In Matthew 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. Come on there, Mother E.
The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 31, 32, 36, and 37. 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sickness, all manner of sin, and that thing shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto man. 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 26. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. 37. For by your word thou shalt be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned.
You hear that, Mother? So when you find out the angel say something, he said, no, I ain't going along with that. He said, the angel is saying, the Almighty Son is saying this. He said, you might can blaspheme against me, and I might pay you no never mind. But if you find out my angel have said something, and if you blaspheme against this angel, either you ain't got nothing coming in this world or the world will come. So you got to be very careful before you say, I ain't going with that because I don't believe that through tradition. The angel is the one that told Moses what to eat and what not to eat for the children of Israel. Well, no, I ain't going. I'm still eating my hog. Well, then you keep on eating your hog. If you don't repent, you're gonna end up on the short end of the long end. You'll be on the short end of the long end. The long end is in the kingdom. Short end is in the side. So now, we find out if the angels say the wicked, he said you show favor to the wicked in 26:13, he ain't gonna do right. He said he or she ain't gonna do right, period. And then we find out another thing about it. But the wicked is the sword. Now daughter is gonna look at it. Genesis chapter 27, verse 38. And we keep reading till we get our point about who is this wicked he calling, which is his sword. We're going to find out. Then we're going to comment out the daughter, the liver of her part, and Genesis 27, verse 38. We keep reading till we get our point. Come on, daughter. Where your daughter? Where's that daughter Yahweh at? I'm getting a delay on my microphone at WCC. The daughter's microphone's been delayed. And I see you you left a message that Elmer Till, you're gonna mute him out for the rest of the broadcast. So you read back on your muting people's out already, huh?
Okay. Well,
yeah, come on, daughter.
What okay, and, what still can you say? I'm trying to
multitask.
Okay, where I'm going to. Okay.
Well, hold on, take your time there. Hold on, daughter. Remember, you got over 900,000. They all live. They listen real captive. They listen real captive, daughter. In the 27th chapter of the book of Psalms, there, daughter, we're going to find out who this wicked is by name. He said, the angel said the wicked is the sword. That's what we read in the book of Psalms. The wicked is the sword. Now, we need to find out. We know it got to be somebody behind the sword. Let's find out what happened that we can read in the 27th chapter of Genesis, verse 38, and we'll keep reading down until we get our point about who this prophecy is talking about by name. By name. Come on, daughter. Come on, daughter, Yahweh. WCC, I'm getting the
player
on the mic. Genesis
27, verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing.
Hold on, daughter. Let's see if we get on the same page. We in Genesis 27 and pick up at verse 38, 39, and 4. Take your time there, daughter. So, you know, you might have to do the same thing we tell Moses of Israel. You got to probably show your shoe at one of them grandbabies and get back to your grandma and get you off this broadcast. If I can deliver my part and grand stuff, I just show them something to back and wait for a minute. But you got to tighten up your broadcast and grand style. You're looking at Genesis 27, verse number 38, 39, and 40. You finally find out who this sword, this wicked sword, by name. Come on.
Genesis chapter 27, verse 38, 39, 40. Verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, "Have thou but one blessing, my father?
Mm-hmm.
Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of thy dew of heaven from above." 40. And by thy sword shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off his neck.
So we found this sword man by name, that he gonna operate upon the sword. By what name? By the name of Esau. That's who's going to be the sword man. That's going to be the wicked sword man. Father prophesied. He said, "He's my father. You got a blessing for me also? He said, I got a blessing for you." He said, "By your sword, you're going to live your life. The only way you're going to tell everything, it's going to be about you. You ain't going to never outwork nobody. But out of sword." He said, the way you will outwork everybody is by the sword. And that's how you're going to live. So what people's on the face of the earth, the way they sell things is by the sword, by the bangle. What people's is that today? That when they sell a thing, they sell it by taking over. And they always use their material that their grandfather was given in Genesis number 27:39, verse 40. What people fit that? When they sell things, they only sell it by the sword. They don't never sell it no other way. And then when you precept that, daughter Yahweh, in Micah chapter 2, daughter Yahweh, when you preach that in Micah chapter, let's find out what else they'll do according to another seer in Micah chapter 2. Remember, when we teach a lesson, it's always spirit-led. We go with the punches. So those that are making the copies of the CDs, DVDs, listen to whatever is talked about the most, they put that as a link. So he's going to find out about the sword man. We found out the sword man is Esau. But they got another characteristic of Esau that was prophesied by Micah chapter 2. Listen to what Micah was told by the angel. Another sign you look for the sword man in your generation. Pick up verse 2. We'll read down to get our point, daughter. Micah 2. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Micah chapter 2, woe to them, verse 1, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their bed, when the morning is light they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. verse 2. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his family, even a man and his heritage. Verse 3. Therefore, thus said the YHWH Yahuwah, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your neck, neither shall you go hardy, for this time is evil.
So not yet, but Yahuwah said, but just says Yahuwah, but this time already, he said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you sooner or later. I'm going to get you. But the only way I'm going to get you, tell me out, hey, Marie, only way I'm going to get you in the book of Judas chapter 5, mother. Let me see the only way I'm going to get you. He said, now I'm gonna get this family that rest. Okay, I'll cut you short. He said, now I'm gonna get this family. But I'm gonna tell you something first. And the book of Judas chapter 5, mother, after read book called Apocrypha. Can you pick up around about verse number 18, mother? Let's find out. About it was a conversation going on, Mother E. And Thias, verse number 18. Let's read a little bit and see. Now I'm just trying to say, I'm gonna get you, but I can't get you yet because of what reason? And Judas chapter 5, Mother E. Pick up at verse 18. Let's read a little bit. Let's read you get our point. Mother, let's find out exactly how to activate Yahuwah to get at the wicked. We have a red book called Apocrypha. The book that they removed in 1885, the Protestant Church, is snatched out of the Bible. Original King James had all 80 books. But now you got 66 books in your Bible, right? Now they're checking this out. And if you read it long enough, you start putting two and two together. Judas chapter 5, verse 18, and take it down to verse 21. Take it down there, Mother E. Come on. 18 to 21. Come on.
Judas chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. Judas chapter 5, verse 18. But when they departed from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, led aslow, and were led captive into a land that were not there. And that temple, and the temple of their Yahuwah was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemy. 19. But now are they returned to their Yahuwah, and are come up from the place where they were gathered, and have possessed that Judah, where their sanctuary temple is, and are seated in the hilly country, where it was desolate. 21. Now, therefore, my Yahuwah and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their Yahuwah, let us consider that this shall be their ruin. And let us go up, and we shall overcome them. 21. But if there be no sin in their nation, let my Yahuwah now pass by, let their Yahuwah defend them, and their Yahuwah be for them, and we become a report before all the world.
Ain't that something? Ain't that nice? So, Mother, read verse 18 again. I mean, you own something now, Mother. Now, the national needs to hear this real carefully, Mother. Now, you own something in verse 18 and 21. Let's say again in verse 18. Take your time, now, mother. You on something. Verse 18.
Judas, chapter 5, verse 18. Verse 18 reads, but when they depart from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, very slow, and were led captive into a land that was not there. And the temple of the Yahweh was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemy. Verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21. But if there be no sin in their nation, let my Yahweh now pass by, lest their Yahweh defend them, and their Yahweh be for them, and we become a retort before all the world.
You hear that, mother? Now you see what the world know about you? Long as they get you to sin, they know Yahweh is not going to pay you no never mind. Says, but once they departed from the way, mother, then you can't win nothing. See, that's what he's trying to tell us. The children of the book. Once you leave the way of the Bible, for whatever propaganda the preachers tell you, and go contrary to the Bible, you're going to lose. And soon as you try to show them that we have made an error on something, then you'll see a real preacher come out. And all you've done was show them the Bible. But the Bible says this, Mr. Preacher. So why are we doing this? Why are you praying over the hog? And the hog is an abomination to the Almighty and the children of Israel. They're going to cause them all kind of high blood pressure, cancer, all type of problems they have in their body. And all we got to do is leave the hog alone. You can't pray the hog and eat it, Mr. Preacher. Now, he's supposed to look at that as drowning and calling for help. And the lifeguard jumps over there in the water to put him up. He ain't going to be fighting the lifeguard. He going to be skinning and grinning. Thank you. That's the same thing you both look at. That's why it's so important for us to pull off, and we're going to pull it off, land, school, banquet hall, and the radio station. We must help our youth because the preachers is not going to help them. They're going to continue to tell you to do things that's contrary to his Bible because of tradition. Because we found out, as Moses, Mother Z, you don't got behind the microphone yet, that Mother Z? Hey, Mother Z, y'all pop picture and see you right.
Mother Z ain't listening.
All right. So Mother Z, all right, good enough. Sign off. Well, you know, the WCC, they just said, daughter, we going to mute daughter out for the rest of the broadcast, too. We going to mute daughter out. Daughter Yahweh, she's through talking for the night. We're going to mute the elder out. He's through talking for the night. We're going to mute Makai out. He's through talking for the night. So, you know, everybody's going to do what we got to do, mother. That's why we got to do what we got to do, mother. See, we got to understand something. We got to do what we got to do because all of the big dignitaries is going to do what they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why we say the harvest is plenty, but the labor is few. That's why let's read that. What verse is that? It'll get away from right now. We leave it alone. So with 9:41, is that it? No, I leave it alone. It ain't came to me, but the harvest is plenty. Plenty of work to be done in the 6 anointing camp, but the labor is few. We got to do a lot of things to get Yahweh to intervene. And we're going to do it. So, by us not paying the Almighty no never mind, mother, we found out as soon as we do the way, the blessing was on us. But when we polished the way, we can't win a game of death now. We can't win a game of death as a nation. Oh, you got two individuals can put their hand in $10, two and up. But we can't win nothing as a nation because we are lost the way. And what way is that, Mother, we are lost that we can read in the book of Psalm 40, verse 8? Let's find out what way have we lost, Mother, in Psalm 40, verse 8. What way have we lost? Let's talk about it, Mother. Psalm 40, verse 8.
The book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 8, read. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my Yahweh. Yea, your law is within my mind.
Mm-hmm. So the law, statute, and a commandment to be in our mind. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 reads. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of Yahweh shall stand forever.
So, regardless, his way is going to stand. What he got written in his Bible is going to stand whether we want to obey it or not. But our time is going to run out. And that's why we got to reach the youth to let them know the reason why we're in trouble today, because we are violating the Bible. There's nothing done away with. So in 2 Ezra, Mother, in 2 Ezra, we're going to look at two verses, Mother. In 2 Ezra chapter 14, we'll look at verse 28 and 33. We're going in 2 Ezra, the old seer. Now, he got something to say, Mother. What do he say in chapter 14, verse 28? And 33. What
do you say that, Mother E? 2 Ezra, chapter 14, verse 28 and 38.
And 33.
Make it 33. Okay. 2 Ezra, chapter 14, verses 28 and 33. Verse 28. Okay. 2 Ezra, chapter 14, verse 20, verse 38, and verse 28, and verse 32.
Make it 33. Make it 33. Make it 2 Ezra 14, verse 28 and 33.
Okay. 2 Ezra, chapter 14. Verse 28 and verse 33. Okay, verse 28. 2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 28. Hear these words, O Israel. Verse 33. And now, are ye here, and your brethren among you.
Mm-hmm. So you see, you say, Mother, and now you hear. Because we didn't hear the words, Mother, and now we hear. Now we wear. See, so now we wear, Mother. And Amos 9, verse number 10, where are we? Where are we at, Mother? He said, now you hear and your brother. Where? Where, Mother? Let's look at Amos chapter 9, verse 10. Let's look at who is he saying, who is he talking to? In Amos chapter 9, verse 10. Who he talking to, mother? And not you here and your brother. Who is he talking about? Amos 9, verse 10.
The book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 10. All the sinners of the people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. You said Amos 9, 10.
You read it right. You read it right. I'm going to back up and tie it all in. You read it. He said, what happened again at 9 or 10, mother?
All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
Mm-hmm. Now put a marker there. I'm going to come back and read verse 9, mother. But put a marker there for a minute. These times put a marker there. I'm coming back. We're going to come back and read verse 9. But he said, all the sinners going to die by the sword. Is that what you got to read, mother?
Okay. Amos 9:10. Yes.
You read 9:10. Read that 9:10 again, mother, because I'm going somewhere with this, mother. Read verse 9:10, okay. But put a mark in there. I'm going to come back and read verse 9, but I want to hear 10 one more time. One more again, verse 10. What's in verse 10?
Amos chapter 9, verse 10. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
Mm-hmm. All sinners of my people is going to die because they said the evil is not going to take us. Now, mother, we got to preach up that twice. Let's find out what it means by they're going to die by the sword. We're going to the book of Ezekiel, mother. We're going to the 35th chapter and find out. Yeah, we're going to Ezekiel 35, mother. We want to precept that, but we're going to precept that twice. But we're going to find out if my people's going to die by the sword, mother, because they're going to do right. Then we're coming back to the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, 11, 9, verse 15. So we're going to take care of this first. We're going to find out what is he talking about, because the Bible is a precept Bible. Who is he talking about? All my people is going to die by the sword. That way, the warning ain't going to do right. So now, in Ezekiel 35, verse 5, mother, can you help those see out and the national audience? Who is he talking about when you precept your Bible in 35, verse 5 of the book of Ezekiel? 35, verse 5. What's that on?
Ezekiel, chapter 35, verse 5. Because thou hast had a perpetual hate and has shedded the blood of the children, the family, the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their enemy has an enemy.
Read it again. You got it right the first time, but I just want to hear it again, mother, because we're going to really take a little business on this now. Look at that 35, verse 5 or 10, and take the time, because you own something. 35, verse 5, let's take it again, mother.
Ezekiel, chapter 35, verse 5, because thou has had a perpetual hatred and has shedded the blood of the children, the family of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end.
Mm-hmm. So it is a people that had a perpetual hate for his brother. And they perpetual hate, they always use a sword to put on their brother. Now, we're going to precept that model out of the heavenly tablets called the Book of Numbers, 20 verse 14. Who was he talking about, thy brother? Let's even find out who he's talking about, thy brother. He said, you've been having a perpetual hate. That means a continuous hate in every generation against your brother. And you always put the sword on your brother. Now let's find out who he's talking about, mother. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 14. Let's talk about it, mother. 20, verse 14, what is that?
The book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 14. And Moses sent messages from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, Esau. Thus said he, thus said thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail, thou knowest all that travail
that has befallen
us.
That's good, mother. Hey, Mud, you want to take a shot of that? You want to take a shot of that for the national audience? Now you just precepting, Mother. You just got some big time precepting. Now you want to take a shot at? You said you have a perpetual hate for your brother, and you pursue him with the sword. Now you just came back to the 20th chapter, verse 14, and found out who is thy brother and who sword man. Now, you don't find out all that, mother. But I tell you what, we read another verse in 18 and find out every time when he's in a tight, he goes to his strength, the sword. Listen what's said in verse 18, mother. Same book of Numbers 20,
Numbers
verse 18. Yeah, this is 18 real chapter, mother. Listen. When you read it, listen
to the real chapter.
Go ahead, 20 verse 18.
Numbers chapter 20, verse 18. Edom, Esau said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword.
So, mother, we clear. And his mask on, that clear too. See, the Bible would tell everything, mother. It just, we just got to step it up and let the Bible tell the story. And when we try to help our loved one, like if a loved one is drowning and you try to save his life, they supposedly want to be saved. They ain't supposed to kick against nobody trying to pull you out of the water. You're supposed to get upset, start blanking, and then didn't want to finally put somebody down at your building and all that stuff. You don't do all that. Now we trying to help somebody. I mean, if I was drowning and somebody jumped in the water to save me, I'm going to say, hey, thank you, and pull me on to shore. But we try to show some of these preachers the word. They get mad at you. Like, for example, you tell you in Isaiah 42, verse 8. Hey, Mother E, in Isaiah 42, verse 8, what do you say in 42, verse 8 about Isaiah?
Look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, read. Verse 8, I am the Yahweh, that is my name, and my honor will I not give to another, neither my praise to a graven image.
You say I'm Yahweh, that's my name. And I'm not going to give my honor to no other name. Now, Mother, how many letters is his name, Mother?
four letters, YHWH.
And what did the angel say the benefit of them four letters telling David in 1:16-13 or something? Now, what's the benefit of you using the four letters, YHWH, four letters? What's the benefit? Here comes the angel from heaven. He will tell David about the benefit of using the four letters and what that can get you if you use the four letters. 1:16-13 of Psalms said what, Mo?
1:16-13. Psalm 1:16-13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Yahweh.
Salvation is in the name of who, Mother? Salvation is in what name? Salvation.
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Yahweh.
So salvation is in the name of Yahweh. How many letters is that, Mother?
Four letters. YHWH.
Okay, good. So salvation is in the four letters. What do we say in Proverbs 30:5-16? So salvation is in the four letters. YHWH. So if you add to the four letters or take away from the four letters, there's no salvation in it. That what you just got through reading. So what can the wise man in the world, and Yahweh the Son is looking him eyeball to eyeball in Proverbs 30:5-6. What did he say, Mother? Proverbs 30:5-6.
Proverbs chapter 30:5-6. Proverbs chapter 30:5. Every word of Yahweh is true. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6. Add thou not unto his word, lest he will choose thee, and thou be found a liar.
Okay. So the wisest man in the world said, they were told, don't add to my word, darling. Don't add nothing to my word. I'm going to reprove you, and you will be found for life. So otherwise, if you add to the word, he will reprove you and be found for life. And Acts 4:12 says what, Mother? What it says in Acts 4:12?
The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So, what name and how many letters, and no name is better than what you get ready to say, and the only name gonna get you saved is what name and how many letters, Mother, according to 4:12.
Okay. The name of Yahweh, four letters, YHWH.
That's it. So if anybody asks you the four letters, Mother, they're going to be proven to be a what, according to Proverbs 30:5-6. What are they going to be proven to be, Mother?
Okay.
According to Proverbs 30:5-6. If you add anything to his word, and you want to add to the four letters or take away from the four letters, you will be proven to be what, according to Proverbs 30:5-6.
Okay. Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of Yahweh is true. Here they hear unto them that put their trust in him. Verse 6, add thou not unto his word, that he be retrieved that there, and thou be found a liar.
Okay.
A liar.
You'll be a liar if you do what, mother?
Add to his word, or take away from him.
Okay. Let's see who is he warning to not do that. Isaiah 26, verse 1 and 4. Now, when you get down to verse 4, we go and catch a liar, mother. This still don't see it real good. We go and catch a liar red hand. Now, we're going to find out the rules that don't do it. Now, we go and catch a liar red-handed. And let's find out what he did that we can read. Now, who is specifically he telling this to in 26, verse 1 of Isaiah? Remember, mother, we go and catch us a liar. We're going to catch us a liar red-handed. We're going to catch his hand in the flour. Then you say, who put their hand in my flour? And they're going to say, I don't know. And you said, your hand, you are a person of color, and you don't stuff your hand down in my flour, and it's all in your hand, and you saying, it's not me. I didn't do it. Wait a minute. You have caught their hand has been stuck down in the flour. They black or brown hand been down in the flour, and then you ask, who put your hand in that flour? Who hands in that flour? He said, not mine. And you look at his hand, and his hand's full of flour. So he's been found in what, mother? A liar. Now we go up and catch a liar red-handed now, mother. You can catch a liar red-handed by reading Isaiah 26, verse 1. What is that you can read in 26, verse 1?
Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and boardwalks.
Okay. Good. Now, Mark. Help those see out in the national audience. Who is he talking about according to 26 verse 1 and 2? Who is he talking about first? 26, 1 and 2. Now, verse 1. 26, 1. What is he talking about? Two lines.
He's talking about Judah.
Exactly right. He's talking about the peoples in the land of Judah. He's talking about Judah. Judah's the one you call today African-American, Negro, and color, and super color. So he's talking to Judah specifically. Judah, he's telling Judah, that don't ask my word, Judah, African-American, Negro, and color. I'm going to reprove you, and you'll be found a liar, Judah. Now we're going to catch a liar red-handed, mother. Read the first line in verse 4. Read and tell you who is trusting. First line in verse 4. Now, I want to pause and talk for a minute. I want to talk for a minute, Mo. Just reading one line. It's telling us, Judah, who we supposed to trust in. One line, Mother. That's all I want. One line. Who we supposed to trust in, Mother? One line.
Isaiah 26, verse 4. Trust you in the Yahweh forever.
How many letters did that Yahweh in, mother?
Y-H-W-H.
Okay, read me four more words in line 2. Just read the next four words.
But in the Yahweh.
Stop it there. Stop it there. How many letters is that, mother?
Four.
Now, Matt knows to be sitting down now. We just catch a liar red-handed. Now, what's the next word, Mo? We just catch a liar red-handed. What's the next word?
Jehovah.
What? Jehovah?
Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Ain't that something? What happened here, Mother? What have they did right here? They changed the name from YHWH and put what name in there, Mother?
Jehovah.
And said, Jehovah is our everlasting strength. Now, that's the biggest lie. That's the biggest lie that ever was told. We just got to read, trust in YHWH forever. Not forever means forever. You trust in the four letters forever. Then the writer going to put in Jehovah, which cover up the four letters, and said, now, Jehovah is our everlasting strength. So those who use a name called Jehovah, that is a liar from Satan the devil. Jehovah. Jehovah is a cover-up word for YHWH. Now, let me prove that real quick there, Mother. See, that's how you catch a liar. And then when you show your overseer that we're using the wrong name, then they get mad at you. What are they getting mad at you for? You try to save their life and yourself life and all your loved ones in there. Now, I'm going to show you how you can catch a liar red-handed. Now, I'm going to write down this word called Jehovah. I'm going to write it down, Mother. See what we're going to do. We got a little time. In Isaiah 26, verse 4, I'm going to write this name down. Jehovah. J-E-H-O-V-A-H. That's Jehovah. Now, Mother, now we put that word down for a minute. Now, let's go to St. John chapter 19, verse 20. We're going to St. John chapter 19, verse 20. Now, I'm going to show you how you just pin the tail on a donkey. Let me show you how you catch your pastor, and then he can't get off Monday. But then you find out if he's true about the word and helping himself and the people, he'll make adjustments. Let's see what it says in St. John 19, verse 20. What it says in 19, verse 20, Moses. St. John
chapter 19, verse 20. This title being read, many of the Jews was the place where Yahweh the Son was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin.
And Hebrew. It was written, what kind of language was it written in, Mother?
It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
And in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, there's no such word called Jehovah in there. There's no such word called Jehovah in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. What they're saying, the Bible was written, and it was closed in 96 A.D. That's when John put his pen down. It was no such word that was written in Hebrew, Greek, or Latin by the name of Jehovah. That name did not even exist. Now, we're going to show you how they dressed up this word called Jehovah. Now, we're going to show you what they did, Mother, by just writing the word down, because in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, it was no such word called, nobody name called Jehovah is our salvation and our strength, because the Bible is written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And you put up any Hebrew, Latin, or Greek book, and you will not find the word Jehovah in there, because there wasn't no J to the 17th century. And Mother, go to Luke chapter 23, verse 38. Let's find out what's going on, Mother. We're going to Luke 23, verse 38.
Okay.
Luke
chapter 23, verse 38.
Verse
38.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Luke chapter 23, verse 38. And its inscription also was written over him in Latin, of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the theme of the Septuagint.
Mm-hmm. So what was written over his head was written in a language that was spoken at the time of the Bible, and it was three major languages that were spoken and were written over his head. Was the Greek language was spoken, then after that come the Latin, but the name Latin, but it was the Hebrew. Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Now, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin is no such name as Jehovah. No name called Jehovah. Not in Hebrew, not in Latin, not in Greek. And the Bible was closed in 96 A.D. And when the Almighty had something to say, Mother, when he had something to say to the people of the book, we go and see what language did he talk in to the people of the book by going to Acts 26, Mother. We're going to Acts 26 and find out what language when the Almighty sent his angels down to talk to man. The children of Israel, what language did he speak to them in? Going to Acts 26, Mother. Look at verse 14, and we'll read till we get our point. We're going to Acts 26, and pick up verse 14. See, you're trying to catch us a liar, Mother. And if you catch a liar, and you show them that they're a liar, and they get mad at you, then you know you've been wasting your time. I don't know nobody drowning, and you jump over the wall and try to help them out, and they don't get happy, and then praise you all the way. Thank you, because I was going off my last breath. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That don't happen when you're drowning. So if a person's drowning, and you get mad if you're trying to help them, and that's to your advantage to break out running and never, never return back to that. And then your loved one, you have to... Even if you catch one of your loved ones and pip them with the back of their head and drag them up out of there, then let them wake up on your couch and have old Lucky sitting right there by the bed looking at them. You know, I'm trying to save your life. So sometimes you might have to pip the wolf your loved ones because they're so much in tradition. Then you got to take old Lucky and sit him down at the bedside there when they wake up and tell them, don't get mad, I'm trying to save your life. So we found out that the Bible was written in three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. And now we're going to find out when the Almighty has something to say to one people, to the children of the book. What language did he say something to them in? Let's see what language did he talk to them in. Let's see he talked to them in English. We're going to find out by going 26 chapter, verse 14. And all we need is one verse, Mother. Verse 14 is all we need, one verse. We're going to find out. Now, I tell you what, read 13 just to make it sound good. Read verse 13 and 14. That's all we want. We're going to Acts 26, 13 and 14. What does it say, Mother?
The book of Acts, chapter 26. Verse 13 and verse 14. Acts chapter 26, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, a bull, the brightness of the sun shine around about me and them which journey with me. Verse 14. And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, far, far, why persecute thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the priest.
So now Paul said, he's talking to the big dignitaries. He said, I heard a boy speaking to me. Hey, mother, what tongue was that boy speaking to? Paul. It seemed like Paul had a psalm. He understood that tongue. So what tongue was the tongue from heaven speaking down to Paul in, mother? According to verse 14, what tongue was that, mother?
In the Hebrew tongue.
In the Hebrew tongue, it's no Latin. It's no Jehovah in the Hebrew tongue. It's no Latin in the, it's no Jehovah in the Greek tongue. And it's no Latin in the Hebrew tongue. So that word Jehovah is incorrect. Matter of fact, in your dictionary, it tells you that the word Jehovah is an incorrect word. Now, if I was a pastor and I find out that I was caught on the incorrect name, and I can go in the dictionary and show you soundly that that's an incorrect name, and you get mad at me, then that's to my advantage to run from you and never want to even see you nowhere on the scene. I'm showing you where you drowning me, my loved ones, and yourself. And you don't want to be saying that the name Jehovah is a incorrect word and it's written in a dictionary. But we want to go and find out now, mother. Now, Paul received this information from above in Hebrew. We want to go find out one thing, mother. When Paul was speaking to all the people, let's find out exactly what tongue was he speaking in to all the people. In Acts 21, verse 40. We're going to Acts 21, verse 40. What it says, 21, verse 40.
Book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 40. Acts, chapter 21. Verse 40 reads, Acts 21, verse 40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there were made a great Bible, he speak unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying.
Wait a minute, mother. What tongue were you speaking to me and mother?
The Hebrew tongue.
Who was Paul speaking to, mother?
Paul was speaking to the children of Israel, Judah.
So Paul was speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue. In the Hebrew tongue, there's no such word called Jehovah, mother. Not in Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. No such word called Jehovah. So, I'm looking at this book called The American and America Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, page number 702. It says, the word Jehovah comes from the Hebrew Tetragrammaton, YHWH. And with the vowel point, it's called Anani. So they add that to it. So he said, Jehovah, out of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, page 702, they said the name Jehovah come from the text of Grammaton, four letters, YHWH. Let me get a second witness on that. So we found the word Jehovah. But let's find out, well, who behind this thing? Let's find who behind this. I'm looking at another dictionary called the New Westminster Dictionary on page 522. This is what it says. Jehovah, in the Old Testament, incorrect literated of YHWH. Jehovah. Jehovah on page 522 is a incorrect word for YHWH. Then it tells you who started this. Jehovah Witness page on the New Western Encyclopedia 522. It tells you Jehovah Witness, the members of a Christian sect. Jehovah Witness was founded in 1872 by Charles Taft Russell. Charles Taft Russell. That's the one that gave you that name called Jehovah. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to take a look at one more thing, Mother, now we'll take a look at something else. We're going to look at this word, Jehovah. We're going to write it down, and we're going to see exactly what happened, how that word came. What is this word covering up? We've already found what it's covering up. Jehovah, find out one thing. In the original language called Hebrew, it was no J. The J come from the I, and the I come from the Y. The letter E did not even exist. That's a vowel point. So you got to cross it out and bring down the H. In the original Semitic 22 alphabet is no O, and the B is a modern day from the W. So there's no O and it's B. Really was a W. It was no A because that's a vowel point and Semitic 22 alphabet is no vowel. So you bring that down to H and get what you got. YHWH is covered up by the word called Jehovah, and that's written in the New Westminster Dictionary page 522. That word Jehovah is a cover up word for YHWH. So now, when you're trying to help somebody, and they don't want to see help, to your advantage, say, okay, you drowning, and you don't want to see help. I ain't never known nobody drowning, don't want to see help. So there's a deal. So now, in Acts 22, Mother, let's see what Paul talking to in Acts 22, verse 1 and 2. Now let's see what language is Paul talking to the people in again. Is he speaking to them in English? Or is he speaking to them in another in English? Or let's find out who Paul is speaking to the people in Acts 22, verse 1 and 2.
The book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 1 and verse 2. Men, brothers, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. Verse 2. And when they heard that he speak in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent, and he said. Verse 3.
That's good. That's it. 1 and 2. So what tongue was Paul speaking in most of the people?
You're speaking in the Hebrew tongue.
In the Hebrew tongue, they got no name called Jehovah. Jehovah is a modern-day new word that came in 15, 16, and 17 centuries. That's a new word that covers up the true name, YHWH. If somebody showed me that, and that is proven to be the truth, and if I was a preacher, I'd say thank you. Thank you. I didn't know I was teaching wrong. But since I know I'm teaching wrong, I'm going to correct it. That's what I'll do. So if you find out that anything we're doing wrong, and somebody can call the international line 224-600-5579 and show us in the scripture that we're wrong, guess what we'll do? We'll correct it, because I want to get in the kingdom. And I won't do nothing that can get me out of the kingdom if I find out that I'm doing something incorrect. If I'm finding I'm doing anything correct that we can read out of the Bible, I will make no problem by making adjustments because the Bible says make the adjustments. So now, Mother, I want to take a look at something that it says in the book of Psalm 50, verse number 7. I want to look at something. Now, the angel coming down and tell David something else. He's coming to tell David something in 50 verse 7. And what did he say in 50 verse 7?
Book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh. Even your Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Now go to Psalm 60 now, Mother, and see again who is he talking to. We're going to Psalm chapter 60, Mother. We're going to Psalm 60, and we'll look at verse number 7.
Book of Psalms, chapter 60, verse 7. Psalm chapter 60, verse 7. Read. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my head. Judah is my lawgiver.
So, Mother, who's supposed to tell the law? Who's supposed to tell you about the law, Mother?
Judah.
Judah is the one you call today African-American and Negro and Christian. That's what Judah is today. His job is to tell you what the law says. The law is telling us, is saying in Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, Mother. What is the law telling us to do, Mother? And to whom is telling us to do it to? Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Okay. Verse 1 reads, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh of your father give you. Verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you.
Mm-hmm. So his message is telling the children of Israel what to do and what not to do. You cannot add to his word nor take away. If his name got four letters,